we're in Minnesota and you guys have the largest mall in the world. And if it's not still, I don't care. Don't tell me. Because I've been to this one and I'm not going to any more. Amen. There's an Amish family that stopped by the Mall of America. I know they were amazed because I still am. Four stories, are you kidding me? There ain't nothing in there for me. How can he do that? Four stories. Okay, there's a Harley store. All right. So they stop. They're on the first floor. And the women, you know, go do what women do. Even Amish women know how to shop. I don't get that. But the boy and his father, they're just kind of lingering around in the whatever it is. And they're amazed at everything. But they saw there was a big silver wall. And it moved apart. And people walked out. And the wall would close behind them. And they never seen anything like it. They're fascinated by it, kind of mesmerized. And I mean, for a long time, they stood there and they watched. People would walk up to the wall. It would open. It would part. They would walk into a little room. And that went on. And they couldn't believe it. Finally, an elderly lady in a wheelchair, she wheeled up to the wall. The wall opened. She wheeled in. The wall closed. She disappeared. A few minutes later, the wall opened again. Beautiful young lady walked out. And the Amish dad said, "Son, go get your mother." I like that one. I don't know. And for those of you that didn't get it, amen. You know, I was thinking about when you got people in the second verse, I think it was, or whatever, to get up and do the Greek thing and the singing. And people, I mean, all over the country, people do that. When I say all over the country, I'm talking about, I'm an independent Baptist preacher. So this is my crowd. Amen. And I preach anywhere. I'd preach at the Vatican if they let me. And if they call, I'll go. But this is my crowd, and oftentimes they'll do that and greet. And then the pastor will, you know, people will be everywhere. And man, I'll be walking around because I'm new. And they're talking about mowing their grass and where'd they get their car fixed. And all that kind of stuff you're supposed to deal with before church or after, instead of just, "Hi, good to see you tonight, brother, sister, blah, blah, blah." And then the pastor or the song leader, whichever the case may be, will get in the pulpit, and the piano player will be there, ready. And what I noticed is, I'm going to make a comparison. Getting people like back to their seats, it reminds me of like letting the cat out of the bag. That's a lot easier than putting him back in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you enjoyed that, because that's the last time you're going to smile tonight. And I'm kidding about that too. I have a good time in the Lord. I hope you do. And there are times when it's good to laugh. And then there's times to know when to take it seriously. And if the Spirit of God is knocking on the door to your heart, it's time to take it seriously. Amen. Don't get mad. Ask the Lord, what about that? And if it's right down your alley, then do something with it. Amen. You'll be glad you did. Amen. Your flesh won't be, but your spirit will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." That's where we live today. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Most of the people are going up and down Route 316, and they see cars in the parking lot, and it's Wednesday night, and they're used to that. But if they knew really what was going on in here tonight, I'm talking about Bible preaching, good bunch of good, decent folk getting together and submitting themselves to Bible preaching, that's exactly what they call it, foolishness. And that's no surprise, and don't fault them for it. The Lord said it was going to be that way a long time ago. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed." Believe. So if you're saved today, okay, then that means you. It says, verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Now he's talking to a New Testament church, just like this. That's why the epistle's in the Bible, for us. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Amen. God does things differently than anybody else would. Amen. It said in verse 27, the foolish things of the world. And the reason is to confound the wise, the weak things of the world, base things of the world, things which are despised. I wondered, first time I read that, I wondered if that included long-haired, tattooed, loud biker. Yeah, maybe. Amen. And yea, things that are not. Not what? Well, not of any value in the world's estimation. And there's a girl that showed up at the Roloff homes back in the 70s. Her name was Lynn House. She was a female associate of the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club. Amen. So that was a pretty rough life. And it was a life that included drug addiction and liquor and even prostitution. And she ended up, probably had a praying mama like some of us did, and she ended up at Roloff's. And after years and years and years and years of sin and abuse, she got saved. And she gives credit to God for giving her mind back. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I get guys come and say, well, I did drugs and I drank. Well, okay. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As a matter of fact, according to the list in 1 Corinthians that we just read, went through those verses, you may be just exactly who God would like to use. Lynn House got her mind back, and she wrote over 200 songs. She's not in a hymn book. I mean, this was 40 years ago. But, boy, they were singing them in the churches around South Texas there for quite a while. And the one that she was the most known for, I don't want to say famous because she could care less about fame anyway. But the one she's known for, the first one, was this. It was called, I'll Never Be the Same Since Jesus Saved Me. Boy, that'll preach all day long. Yeah. And I got news for you. If Jesus has saved you, you'll never be the same either. Amen. You know, as evangelists, what we spend a lot of time doing is trying to convince people that claim to be saved, may very well be saved, but they keep trying to be like they used to be. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit trying to be like you? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, when you don't buckle down and go to the Lord and say, okay, I'm a new creature in Christ, what do you have? Well, you're cheating yourself. Oh, my. Being a Christian, listen, I made a lot of decisions in my life. I was in the military. I was in motorcycle gangs. I've been saved for 24 years, and this was the best decision I ever made. I'm just telling you. I've been around the block a little bit, too much, and I'm glad that I'm not what I once was. Amen. In the verse there, in verse 27, or verse, okay, 28 looks like, 29, let me look in the Bible myself. It's all good though, amen? verse 28 again, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. To bring to naught the things that are. You know what the moral of that is? God does things differently than you and I would. He's not looking for the valedictorian of the class. He's not looking for the one of whom it was said most likely to succeed. He's not analyzing resumes. We're talking about being used of God now. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about called to do something for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why this church is here. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. We'll get to that. But, boy, if you are here tonight on Wednesday night, and I hope you're praying about the meeting, I hope you plan on attending, I hope you plan on inviting people, I hope you have a desire somewhere in your heart, no matter where you are in your Christian life, whether you're brand new or you've been at it a long time, I hope you have a desire to be used of God. Because you can be. Because we just read the resume. Every one of us is qualified. Yeah, that's good news. He doesn't call who you'd think he'd call. He doesn't choose who you'd think he'd choose. I would, but you wouldn't. We'd go to the, I wouldn't, you wouldn't, we wouldn't. We'll go to that crowd. But God doesn't, he's got a reason, and that's verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. To some that's bad news. It says not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Queen Victoria was noted to say, "And thank God for the letter M." And when they asked her what she meant, she said, "Thank God it doesn't say not any wise, not any noble." Amen. Because she was a saved lady. Amen. But God does things the way He does things, so that nobody can get the glory except Him. So we're all qualified. If you're saved here tonight, you're qualified. You fit on the list somewhere. And if you take offense to that, I don't even know what to tell you. Because I just read it out of the Bible. But so the question tonight is, can God use you? Now, I know that He can. Those verses prove that He can. But let's go to a Bible illustration to prove the point. Take your Bible, go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Can God use you? I think He can use anybody. What do you think? We're going to prove it. Numbers chapter 22. Okay, it was in here this morning. Look in verse number 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. All right, there was a multitude of people. Amen? And they're working their way to the promised land, and anybody that got in their way, it didn't go real good for them. Because God made some promises to them, and God keeps His promise. Boy, I wonder if we could even get a hold of the fact that we should at least try a little harder to keep our promises. Amen. That wasn't in my notes, but that's free. That's all that's free this week. All right, verse number 2. And now we got Moab, and Balak, the son of Zippor. Okay, Zippor, maybe. Okay. As son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab, the nation, was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Amen. They're extremely worried, and rightfully so. So their king, Balak, there in verse number 4, he does what comes natural when people are worried about being in trouble. They call on God. They call on God. He calls on God. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know God at all. But he calls on God. And so he sends messengers to a man of God. Okay? And, boy, I'll tell you what, I've been watching people that don't know God call on him in times of trouble my whole life. I was in jail. Some of you know that. Some of you don't. The doors are locked. You can't leave now, so it doesn't matter. But, I watch people in trouble, in prison, call on God. Amen all the time. I tell you what, churches around America are full of people that aren't saved. They're nice. They're churchy. Amen. They're decent. They're moral. They look down on some of us, perhaps, but they don't know God in a personal way. But boy, when they get in trouble, they're calling on God. It's just a natural thing to do. There is a prophet. There's a man of God, Balaam. And boy, I tell you, Balak needs somebody that in his perception anyway can get a hold of God. Balaam must have had a pretty good testimony at some point. He must have had some credibility. It says, I want that he whom blessed. Amen. Balaam's got a testimony. I don't even remember what verse that was. But Balaam's got a testimony of blessing people and asking God to bless people, and God blesses them. So he knows that. That's his testimony. That's a good testimony. But here's what we find out. We're in verses 5, 6, 7, somewhere around there. Verse 6, come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. He's in trouble. He's calling on God. He's sending after a man of God that's got credibility, but he's not interested in God's thoughts on it. He's just trying to find somebody that'll, you know, that he can pay and get God to intercede on his behalf. And I'm going to tell you what, man, I'm known Christian. I know people that go to church that aren't saved, but I tell you what, I'm in church every week somewhere. I know people that are saved, and they go to God when things are looking like a rough situation, and they're not interested in what God has to say any more than Balak was. They go over and they start giving instructions. Oh, God, please do this. Please do that. Please do this. Please do that. That's not how it works. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And God's got our best interest at heart, and God knows what we need way better than we do. It's okay to make your request known unto God. It's okay to be specific, but I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, you better adopt Christ Jesus' mentality in number 26 when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Either way it goes, as long as we're in his will, it'll work out. Amen. Verse number 8. Okay, they send these messengers. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. That's wrong crowd right there. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And here's what he said. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. He's doing good. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's doing right. He's asking God. He's probably got his own thoughts on the thing. Probably got his own opinion. But he doesn't give that to him. He stops and he says, okay, look here. This is serious. You came here. It's serious to you. It's important that we get God's mind on it. Let me pray. Amen. And he's doing great. And that's exactly what he's supposed to do. And verse 12 says, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. They come here. They're going to give him gifts. They're going to reward him. They're going to pay him. But at this point in time anyway, he's saying, I got to ask God. And when God said no, then he came back and he said no. And he tells him in verse 13, I can't go with you. So far, so good. Way to go, Balaam. He's doing good. But Balak, the king, remember, he's worried that these children of Israel are going to wipe them off the face of the earth, and he doesn't give up that easy. And in verse 15, it says, and Balak sent yet again unto the yet again princes and more honorable than they, and came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, I'm glad I'm not, okay, let's move on. Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. Translation, that right there. Position, money, whatever. Okay, great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. He's still not interested in what God's thoughts are on the matter, but he does want to hire the man of God to say what he wants said on his behalf. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. He's doing great. He's doing great. And he said he was going to go to the Lord, and he did. Verse 19, now therefore I pray you tarry here also this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. He might have been tempted. Amen. That's okay too. He went to the Lord again. And verse 20, and God said unto Balaam that at night, let's read it right. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. You see that? If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say to thee, that shalt thou do. All right? Again, so far so good. He went to God again. God gave him the parameters. Verse number 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Uh-oh. Little problem there. It's not going so good now. Whatever happened to the Lord telling him what, whatever happened to, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. See, now he's got something that, this hadn't changed from then to now. He's got dollar signs in his eyes. And all of a sudden he's looking out for himself rather than he was looking out for the will of God. And so, well, it says verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Balaam, the man of God, let me point something out. That's a small M. We got a mentality these days where people are promoting themselves as men of God, and the M's capital, and that ain't right. And that ain't the way it goes. I don't care how many degrees you have, God gets the preeminence. That wouldn't be popular at one of them big fancy meetings that I don't ever have to worry about being invited to, because I'd say it there too. That's my testimony. All right, so the message really isn't about Balaam. He blows it. We're talking tonight about, can God use you? So the message is really, we're going to pick it up starting in verse, 21, I guess. Somewhere around there. Let me pray first. I love you tonight, Lord. I pray that you meet with us. I pray that maybe something that's said already might have been a help and blessing somebody. Lord God, I ask you to help me guide my thoughts and say what you want said. And most of all, our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, be glorified. I pray somebody tonight might be encouraged, regardless of what they think. May they see that you not only can use them, you'd like to. And the secret ingredient, and it's not a secret, it's right there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 29, the ingredient for being valuable of use to you, Lord, is to give you the credit and the glory. So I pray this message would hit home tonight. I sought your face. I pray this is what you will bear witness to. And now I ask you to bless it by manifesting yourself in the course of it. And I pray this in the majestic name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen and amen. So, now let's go back. I think we got to back up to verse 22, 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants with him. And we're talking about his donkey in verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. The ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote his ass. He hit her. Smote his ass to turn her into the way. Let me give you some things about Balaam's donkey that made her, God used her mightily in this passage, and there's some things about her that we can learn from, and if we can get a hold of them, God can use us too. Number one, she's willing to bear a burden. Amen. She's willing to work. In verse 21, Balaam put his saddle on. In verse 22, Balaam put himself on. So this donkey's carrying this guy. She's willing to bear a burden. Go to Galatians chapter 6. We're talking about being used of God. Amen. God doesn't need any prima donnas, let alone any more. But he does need some folks that are willing to bear a burden. It says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. For the New Testament Christian, bearing one another's burdens is amen. It's fundamental. It doesn't so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, you'll find in John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, the Lord speaking, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember? He knew that's where he was going. As I have loved you, so love ye one another. We're talking about a sacrificial love. He's talking about, and Paul writes to the church there, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the Lord says you love one another sacrificially. So I look back at this old donkey and she's willing to bear a burden. And I look at my New Testament doctrinally a straight applicable Pauline epistles, and I'm commanded to bear a burden too. And, you know, and then it says in verse, where are we? Verse number 3, I believe. Verse number 2, bear ye one another. Verse number 5, Galatians 6 and verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. So you gotta bear one another's burdens. You know, Jesus Christ put you and I before himself. Amen. Or we wouldn't have had a chance. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but we're still supposed to bear our own. You know, when the Lord gives you an order, that's the order of importance to God. Amen. It's not you first, and if there's anything left over, if there's any energy, any resources left over, you know, I'll help. No, it's help others first. Love others first. As I have loved you, there's a sacrifice involved, or it's not burden bearing. And then he reminds us, okay, you don't say, well, I helped so-and-so out, maybe somebody will come to my rescue. Well, if you need it, they will. But he tells us to bear one another's burdens. Amen. And, amen, if you want to be used of God, you need to learn to bear burden. Someone else's and your own. Without whining every step of the way. Listen, you know this, somebody's always worse off than you are. Always. Amen. I remember hearing a thing years ago, I mean, probably as a new Christian. A guy was complaining because he had no shoes, you know, until he went out and he saw a man with no feet. That is really that simple to keep it in perspective. Here we are in America, and yeah, our country's got some problems. And across the nation, people are in all kinds of different situations, and the cares of this life are kind of overwhelming. But I'll tell you what, no matter what, man, I'm talking about from death row to prison, there are people all over the world, most of the world, would trade places with an American in a second. Our guys in prison eat better than they do in... Amen. Amen. You might have some health problems. I'll tell you what, a good part of the world would trade places with you in a second. Brother Mike Honstein, my Bible teacher, was in a wheelchair from Vietnam, from serving his country. And I remember as a young Christian, I was going through something I thought was a big deal. It was a big deal. And you go through things. And I'm not saying you don't go through big deals. But what you need is put them in perspective sometimes. And I was complaining about something. And it was real and it was valid. But I thank God for the wisdom that He showed. It's been over 20 years. And He said to me, He said, Brother Spurgeon, if God can give me the grace to sit in a wheelchair for 25 or 6 years at that point, God can give you the grace to get through whatever might seem overwhelming to you right now. And of course, well, did that help you, Brother Spurgeon? Help me. It made me flat out ashamed of myself. Because that's how we put things in perspective. Amen? Listen. You want to be used of God? This donkey, amen, Balaam saddled her up and rode on her. And she was willing. That's what she did. She wasn't whining and complaining. We're going to see that in a minute. And she was number two. She is willing to suffer. She is willing to suffer. Verse 23 again. Okay, let's go back there. Better keep your finger there, I guess. Verse 23. And it says, she saw the angels of the Lord, and his sword was drawn. And that was the Lord trying to stop Balaam from doing the thing God didn't want him to do. And if Balaam didn't have dollar signs in his eyes, maybe he's seen it. Saved himself a lot of trouble. Amen. But the ass did, the donkey did. She turned aside, and he hit her. Smote her. Hit her. Amen. Donkeys don't hurt easily. Amen. And she is willing to suffer. She wasn't just willing to bear a burden. She is willing to suffer. He hit her in verse 25. He hit her again in verse 27. He threatened her before she ever said a word. She was willing to suffer a little bit. She didn't say a thing until the third time she was beat. Boy, I'm traveling around the country. I run into people. And some of you probably would have been to the pastor's office 3 or 4 times all over social media. I'm going to give you a heads up right now. Social media is akin to social disease, in my opinion. I know that. I'm glad we took the offering already. I'm just telling you. Amen. Well, I've just seen it abused so many times. I've seen it cause so many problems in church. My goodness, you know, if you can take something and use it for good, amen, communicate to your missionaries, look at your grandchildren, fine. But boy, I tell you what, the flesh doesn't need much help to busybody itself and other men's matters and sow discord. And if you're prone to those things, boy, you need to get as far away from you as you can from anything that'll make that easier for you. Because I don't know, it might seem anonymous when you're in your living room, but it ain't anonymous. That's good preaching. I liked it, you know. I mean, I know people that way before they ever suffered as much as this donkey here. They had to quit church. Amen. They had to quit church and probably called a lawyer. That's the age in which we live in. Amen. When I say we, I'm talking about 2015, you know, mankind, but definitely Christians are included. We live in this victim age. We're such victims. We're not willing to suffer because, oh, we're more concerned with our rights and opinions than what the Bible says. Amen. This old donkey was willing to bear a burden. And we're talking about being used of God. Okay? I'm not a counselor. I'm not counseling you. I didn't come here to make you feel good about yourself. I just come here to tell you the truth, man, because I'm going to tell you what, in this day and age, people are still dying and going to hell, and we need to be used of God. Isn't that what you want? I know this is a great place. The first thing I asked Brother Grissom, I guess I would need to ask Brother Brandon, because you guys have been in here a little while. I was wondering how long it took some of you older members to get out, once you moved in, to get out of the habit of collecting the songbooks and putting them in a box and carrying them out to the car. Amen. What a blessing, man. Amen. Now you just got to pick them up off the floor. Amen. And sweet, but it wasn't that way for a long time, was it? Amen. Of course, I had that one place you guys were at, the penalty box. I thought that was interesting. I went in there once. I went, you're kidding me. This is so dark. A person would get in here and tell all their sins to somebody. Okay. You'll find out more about that later, maybe. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. That's why we don't live godly, I'm talking about. Because we don't want to suffer. Well, you're going to suffer for something else. I mean, you don't get off the hook. But I will tell you this. If you're not willing to suffer a little bit, amen, you're not going to be used of God. Amen. And let's face it, man. We got it made in America. Somebody gives you a dirty look, wave to you with the, well, I won't go there. Listen, we got brothers and sisters all over this world. Some of them are being killed, cutting heads off. Are they getting the world ready for the tribulation or what? I'm glad I'm not going to be here for that. I'm going to try to keep it between now and the rapture. Amen. But if I don't, I know what's coming. I hope you do. People say, I don't understand him. Well, there's maybe a reason for that. All right, we're talking about verses 23, 25, and 27, where she saw the angel of the Lord, where she got smote. She is willing to suffer while she's bearing the burden. And you want to be used of God? She kept her eyes on the Lord the whole time. She kept her eyes on the Lord. Again, she didn't even say anything until she was whacked the third time. Amen? Somebody asked me one time, Brother Spurgeon, do all fairy tales begin with once upon a time? No. Some of them begin like this. Now that you're saved, all your problems are over. That's a fairy tale. Amen. I got problems I didn't have when I was lost. Yeah. There was no spirit of God lusting against the flesh. The flesh was just going as fast as it could and getting as much trouble as it could. And now there's a still small voice within me saying, no! That wasn't very still or small. I wish he'd yell that loud at me sometimes, don't you? Listen, you want to be used of God? Be willing to bear a burden. Man, I'll tell you what, people are on the edge of their seat looking how to avoid it. Okay, all right. But we're talking about being used of God. You ought to want to be used of God. You can be. I mean, come on. We all qualify. Amen. According to 1 Corinthians 1, I mean, that's not a stretch. That's not a spiritualization of an Old Testament passage. That's straight down the pipe. Gun barrel straight to the New Testament church. That's who we are. And we can be used of God if we'll let Him. Amen. And then there, like I say, this, what better example that God uses weak things and foolish things and things that are despised than the fact that He used this old donkey. Amen. Amen. She kept her eyes on God. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And you got the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And then Peter, you know, asked Him if He could come out there. Verse 29, Matthew 14, 29. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Perfectly. No problem. No, he's the only one of them guys that got out of the ship. Even after they saw him out there. Amen? They're in a storm. The waves have not calmed until the Lord and Peter get back in the ship. It's rough going. But Peter's faith, he stepped out. The Lord said, come. Doesn't He say that to you and I? Doesn't He say, come? Peter stepped out and he did good. He walked on the water. I don't know exactly for how long, but verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So that tells me that when he got out of that ship, and he is 100% focused on Jesus Christ, he did fine. But Peter has a problem. He's human. He has the same problem you and I have. And the Bible is careful to make it clear that he saw. It didn't say he sunk and came up with a mouth full of seawater. It says when he saw the wind boisterous. And so that tells me that, you know, he's on, he's out, and he's walking by faith. And he must have got out there a little ways, because when he's beginning to sink, he didn't turn and try to get back to the ship. He was out there a little ways. Far enough that he was worried. Far enough that he was scared. Far enough that he called on the Lord. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, he did good while his eyes were on the Lord, but when he got them up, he began to sink. Amen. Now, the difference, this is why Peter, there's no way, was an independent Baptist. Because the Bible said, he hollered out, "Lord, save me!" when he was beginning to sink. Oh, not us. We go down once. We go down twice. We stress out everybody in our family, everybody in our church. We grieve. We just, and then we go down for the third time, and then we call out to God. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you get your eyes off the Lord, you're going to begin to sing too. But could I tell you, that's the time to call out. Don't wait until you're going down for the third time and got your family stressed out. That's why you need to come to church every service. You don't just come to punch the clock because we're supposed to. That's religion, man. That Bible Christianity is not religion. You come to church and say, "Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." You go to that place, that garden of prayer, and you say, "God, help my preacher tonight. Help my brothers and sisters tonight." And God speaks to my heart. And maybe you're beginning to think, maybe, "Oh, wow, it seems like my ankles are a little wet." Hey, that's a good time to say, "Lord." That's what Peter did. And immediately. Yeah. No quiz. Amen. No form to fill out. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his arm. She kept her eyes on the Lord. She has used a gun. You keep your eyes on the Lord too. Hey man, we're human. That's all right. There's a remedy. Amen. Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I had a guy try to say in a church a while back, said, "Well, that's not doctrinally." I said, "Shut up, man. It's been working for me for 24 years. Tell you what, you carry the baggage of unconfessed sin around, you'll go under. You'll take somebody with you. You better keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. You want to be used of God? Can God use you? Amen. Use this donkey. The Bible says she was afraid. Well, it says in verse 23, "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn." That, you know, I know you're tough, but that'd probably be kind of scary. "And she turned aside out of the way." Amen. And in verse 25, she thrust herself into a wall. And in verse 27, she fell down. Amen. She had enough sense to be afraid. Amen. Do you? I hope you. You know why we don't heed the warnings of the preacher? You know why we aren't sensitive to the still small voice of God? Because we're not afraid. We're saved to the uttermost, and we're secure, and you know, and all that. We got some verses memorized, and we did a little thing here, and we did something there, and we're not afraid of anything. We're not afraid of anything. Yeah, you know why? Because we're not as smart as this donkey, that's why. You know, it said in James chapter 2 and verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Devils believe and tremble because they know who Jesus Christ is. I mean, one of my favorite passages is Mark chapter 5, Maniac Gadara, and buddy, they recognize them. They had no problem. They know who he is. And amen, they're scared. Amen. I know some Christians right now that should be. I know some Christians right now, folks, that should be running with all their might to the throne of grace to obtain mercy for some of their conduct. And they're not. They're impudent and proud. They're not as smart as the devil. They're not as smart as this jackass. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, this is the night one, so first night, so I'm not thinking of any of you, but if shoe fits, I hope you do something about it. Amen. I'll amen myself in a minute. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There's only one place the knowledge of the holy comes from. And it's that King James Bible. Amen. So you want to read it. You want to study it. Amen. You want to submit to it. You want to get where it's preached. You want to get where it's taught. You want to hide its precepts in your heart? Amen. Somebody amen, or I'll start over. Don't worry, I don't think God would let me start over. But Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My wife had a discussion, in-depth discussion with a young lady a while back who was going through something, and my wife's been around. You need to come to the ladies' meeting on Sunday morning. Because she's much nicer. Or Saturday. Whenever. Saturday, correct? I don't know if it's morning. I don't know when it is. But you need to come because she's much nicer than I am. Some of you are already debating whether you should come back tomorrow. You better listen to your preacher. That's what you better do. Amen. She was having an in-depth discussion with a girl. And the girl was telling her problems. Listen, we all have problems. But my wife is answering her, trying to give her some wisdom, not from, you know, her opinion. She's given her Bible. She said, okay, that situation, we can get a hold of the Bible says, and the girl would say, but, and then next they go on, and this went on for, I mean, a while, and every time she gave her Bible, the girl said, but, and finally my wife said, I don't guess I can help you, because if the Bible doesn't work for you, fools hate. Amen. Despise, rather, wisdom and knowledge. You better stay afraid of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be used of God? Or you think you know? No, man. All right? And so that's a simple message tonight, and that's the gist of it. There's a couple more things about her, and I'm going to give them to you real quick. She was willing to open her mouth. She spoke. Third time. Amen. Balaam didn't like it. Threatened to kill her. Whacked her again. Amen. Balaam, whatever. He had a testimony as a man of God. What in the world? I mean, it doesn't even, he doesn't say, how come you're talking? That he is blinded. Man, we get full of the things of this world. We're blind to things that are real obvious. Amen. He didn't question her a bit, man. He said, I'm going to kill you. But she is willing to open her mouth. Looks to me like God proves right here that he can use anyone that's willing to open their mouth. Maybe this should be my life verse. I don't know. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. And let me see. Verse 30. It says, and the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? All her life, she was simple. Faithful. All in years, she was faithful. She'd been with him a long time. And she was faithful. I get in a picture. We're talking about being used of God. We're talking about being now, 2015, on the brink, I sure pray, of the Lord's return. In the apostate Laodicean church, God has seen fit to put you and I here to make a difference. Say, oh, well, I wish it was back like in the Bible days when thousands were getting saved. Apostles were being crucified then too. You know, we pick and choose what part of history we want to believe. I just give it to God. God knows who we are, where to put us. I look at it like this is a special ops mission to put the church here, those of us here. Amen. That's the way I look at it. To try to make a difference. Yeah, we had a 25-year-old girl walk the aisle about 2 weeks ago and 17-year-old 2 weeks before that. That works for me. We can be used of God. I tell you something, man. God didn't do what he's done here so that you guys could have a clubhouse. Yeah. The church of the living God is a witness to a lost and dying world. And here's where we come. And if I like the fellowship of God's people, I hope you do. I like them old hymns, I hope you do. Amen. I like preaching, because I need it. Amen. I hope you do. Amen. But the reason that God put it there, he didn't just give us something to do a couple days a week. It's to get something, get some direction from the Lord, and develop a testimony. So, and I'm not just talking about out when you're out at the nursing home or the jail or whatever ministry, street preaching, whatever it is you might do, so that we nurture a testimony of godliness in our lives so that everywhere we go. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They got to see some hope in us. I'm glad someone came and told me. Amen. You should be too, because nobody in here was born saved. Amen. You came to Christ. And I'm not taking it for granted everybody is. I'm talking about being used of God tonight. And to be used of God, you have to be a child of God. That's the first qualification. And maybe you're in here tonight and you've never been saved. And that's not a negative comment at all. But you need to be. You need to be. And you can be. You've been pre-approved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he'll save the worst guy in town and all the way to the best. And everybody in between. And we could probably spend a few minutes and figure out we probably got a little of both in here tonight. And we're talking about today forward. We're talking about being a vessel meet for the Master's use. We're talking about being able to hear maybe, well, I know it's not maybe, it's very possible. We're talking about hearing, well done. I'm looking forward to this to end, but until it does, I want to work on that good and faithful servant thing.